It is a phenomenal story, isn't it? It's the best story that we know. The story of the birth of Jesus. And at this time of year, we read it. And we sing it like Luke just sang it for us and Trace is singing it for us. And we see it enacted. And we see signs of it everywhere. On the streets and in the stores and in our homes. Because it's such a marvelous story. The best story ever told anywhere. And on Christmas Eve, of all the times in the year, all the actors take their place. Everything is prepared. And we hear the story again. And we celebrate the story because it's the best story. The best story that we know. But do you realize there is also a story behind that story? There's a story behind that story. There are other characters in the drama whom we do not know so well. They play a role in the story, and an even larger role in another story. But there's a story we don't know as well. A story behind the story. Isn't it fascinating that Luke begins to tell us the story of Jesus with this line? You remember? We just read it a few minutes ago. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Haven't you ever wondered about those characters, about Augustus and Quirinius? Have you ever been curious about what was going on when they took a census and why they did it and what was behind it? This is the story behind the story. Look at just one piece of it with me for a moment. We don't have time to look at all of it, but just one piece of it may intrigue you enough. Augustus was the emperor of Rome. Caesar, he was called. Arguably the most powerful man on earth at the time. For his empire stretched through most of the known world, from the Isle of Britain all the way across Europe, across northern Africa, and eastward into Asia. Augustus was the great nephew of Julius Caesar, and he was regarded by his subjects not only as their king, but as a god, because his wealth and his power were so massive. This particular Caesar was known for his building of his capital city in Rome. It was said that he found it brick and left it marble. He pushed the borders of his empire outward and defended them with massive military expeditions. He supported those efforts by taxing the people and drafting the men into his armies. This was the purpose of the census. People needed to be counted so that Caesar could assess them taxes and raise enough money to operate his empire. His taxes were, as you might imagine, excessive and the source of much rebellion. Just like now. People needed to be counted also so that Caesar could enlist the men into his armies. It is interesting to note, however, that the census in Canaan, which Luke reports, is solely for the purpose of taxation. Because Jewish people were insistent on worshiping their own God rather than worshiping Caesar, they were regarded as subversive. And thus they were unfit to serve in Caesar's armies. Jewish people wouldn't worship the emperor, and so they couldn't be trusted to fight for him. So the census that Luke reports in his second chapter was solely for the purpose of taxation, not for enlistment in Caesar's army. Well, that's part of the story behind the story, you see. The story of emperor and empire. The story of wealth and power, which thought it held sway over the world and all the world's events. But here in Luke's second chapter, we encounter this miraculous story. The story that endures, the story that shapes our lives, how the birth of a child and the song of angels overshadowed the empire and all its power. Were it not for the story of those peasants and their baby, if it were not for the presence of simple shepherds and herald angels, we would know nothing anymore of Augustus or Quirinius or their census or their taxes or their armies. History has swallowed up all that power and prestige, and only this simple, poor, unassuming family, Mary, Joseph, and their baby, are left standing. It's important for us to know the story, because it's such a marvelous story. It's a transforming story, a story that changes us when we hear it and when we know it. It's important for us to know the story. But it's also important for us to know the story behind the story. Because you see, sisters and brothers, we are the empire today. The wealth and the privilege of the world are ours. We are the ones who are powerful, more so than most others. We run the risk of being and becoming the story behind the story. That doesn't mean that we're bad people, but it does mean that we have to be careful, exceedingly careful, that we don't miss God's coming in our midst, that we don't overlook God's presence and follow our own ways. Right under Caesar's nose, you know what happened. You've read the story many times. Right under Caesar's nose, nearly in the presence of his governor, during the taking of his census, he missed the most momentous event in all of history. He missed it. Didn't see it at all because he was so wrapped up in his power and his prestige and his wealth. The story behind the story. The great good news is that God is with us. But we, like Caesar, can miss it if we are distracted. We were talking here at the church the other day about how we don't talk too much about God's Holy Spirit. We don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit and its presence and its work. And that's true. It's true that we don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit. But do you know why? There's a good reason. Because when God comes to us, and when God dwells in us, and when God is present with us, God is in a place that is deeper than words and deeper than fear. When we discover that place, we discover God's presence. When we share the experience of knowing God, and when we experience God's presence together, words get in the way. Because God is present with us and in us at a place that is deeper than words and deeper than fear. Words can get in the way. When Christ comes among us as the child in Bethlehem or as God's Holy Spirit, power gets in the way. Money gets in the way. Words can get in the way because his work among us is kindness and justice and compassion and joy and peace. Words get in the way. Other things get in the way. One of the privileges of working with you as your pastor is walking with you as you live in that place and as you discover that place deep within you and deep within us That place that is deeper than words, deeper than fear, where God's Holy Spirit dwells within us and where the events of Christmas make sense. When you discover that place, you begin to comprehend how it was that Mary, confronted with unwelcome and fearsome news, could finally say, "Let it be with me according to your word." Some of you have discovered that place within you, that place that is deeper than words and deeper than fear. You've discovered it because you have walked with faithful people, people in your families, people in this church. Sometimes it takes tragedy to send you into the depths of your life where God is found. Sometimes it takes facing death yourself, or facing death with someone you love. That's what it takes to find that place within you, that deep place where God's Holy Spirit dwells, that place deeper than words and deeper than fear. What an honor it is to share life's journey with those who have discovered God's presence in their life and who are discovering God's love for them. And they are able to face anything. What a privilege it is to stand with people who can face death without fear. And there are, tragically, many of them among us today. On that night in Bethlehem long ago, everybody didn't perceive what was going on. The ones who did were those who were not distracted. They knew about that place deep within. Poor peasants, poor shepherds, angels, maybe even a drummer boy, who knows? Wise men, not just ordinary kings, but magi, wise ones. In the midst of trying and difficult circumstances, they found the place where God dwells. A place deeper than words and deeper than fear. Have you noticed when you've read the story, have you noticed that there was a lot of chatter? Angels and shepherds and king and governor and magi. But at the manger, not a word was spoken. In the presence of Jesus, in the stable, not a word is recorded. For there they were in God's presence, and words would have gotten in the way. Those who didn't get it were those who were distracted by their own wealth and their own power. Consequently, now they stand in the shadows and in the background. They are the story behind the story. How careful we must be, sisters and brothers, that we are not distracted by our power and our wealth, that we will be aware of God's movements and God's presence in our life, always trying to get through to us in our world. Peace and joy, justice and hope. These are the ways God seeks to reach deep into us, overcoming our fears and encouraging us, loving us with His presence. Amen.